I heard all the warnings and I continued anyway. Nevertheless, I persisted. They're like, so we should have this insurance meeting. Okay, so the meeting is from, like, put on by Cigna. And it's basically ways, things you can do to save Cigna money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, isn't that nice? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So.
But by having those meetings, Cigna will sometimes, like, cut a break for the company, but not for the individuals.
Well, are the company catered? They catered Sugar Fire?
Oh.
That seems counterproductive.
This is why there was attendance.
Okay, because I was like, so you had to attend those meetings and people showed up. See, we have those meetings, but they just threaten us if we don't come. And we just had water. And he got raisins. Our principal got us raisins.
Ew.
And I was just kind of like, what is this situation that you got us raisins? And yeah,
he purposefully buys raisins for other people.
Yeah, yeah. He's normally actually a really great guy. And but then there was the raisins.
And then there's this huge red flag, and now I can't.
Yeah. The raisins are an act of aggression.
We were talking about going to Pride, and my coworker Shayla asked me, she's like, "Oh, do you like to drink?"
Oh. Define the word like.
And drink.
I call it time traveling?
Yeah.
What do you want?
What are you doing?
Do you need to go outside?
Ricky, Tony, do you need to go outside?
No.
This is the time of year that not having a lion's ear is the worst. Go on.
Oh, bugs?
Bugs, because there's no
block
for the light, so the bugs just kind of
congregate,
hang out right here.
We apparently got a lightning bug in here at some point. Holden took care of that.
I had two fly in last night, and like, Thelonious was just absolutely distraught about it, and the rabbits were very entertained, and it was pretty funny.
Were they entertained by the fireflies or by...
by the fireflies. So the rabbits, I have not figured this out yet, but they have some kind of chasing instinct. I don't
really
know what it is. Yeah, because I got one of those, like, I bought this, like, $20 Jackson Galaxy cat toy thing that, like, reels out. And the cat Thelonious doesn't care about it. Clovis, the rabbit, likes chasing it.
Cool.
So I don't know what that's about.
Hey.
I have a rabbit. I have two rabbits. I need to visit. You're welcome to come by. Visit Clovis and Stara.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Anna.
This is Kayla.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
This time.
Smithereens.
What are we doing after Black Mirror? Have you guys ever done Tank Girl?
That would mean having to watch that movie again.
Or not.
All right.
Or not. We should do Big Trouble in Little China.
Already done.
For the third time.
I assumed that the Spider-Man movie would be in there.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
No, the new one.
Oh, it's coming Far out. From Home? Far yeah, from like home. Next week or next this week or...
Tuesday. It opens Tuesday. Because next week's 4th of July week.
Yeah.
We're actually seeing it on the 4th. I already have tickets.
I have not purchased tickets. Uncharacteristically. I'm going to have a hard time getting myself back in more Marvel movies.
I can't wait to see my boy. Swinging from those webs.
Tom?
Shooting webs.
Shooting them webs.
No. No.
Hey. The fucking worst. I mean, we should also do Into the Spider-Verse.
I would be completely down for that. It would give me an excuse to watch it again.
I mean, you don't really like to just watch it. You don't really need an excuse.
That's not how I do things. I have a long list of things that I need to watch.
I mean, I know your objections to having a black Spider-Man, but...
A black / Hispanic Spider-Man.
It's not the black part. That's a problem, David.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Yeah. It's not even a little.
That reminds him of you.
No. The eyes. The suit.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about the second episode of season 5 of Black Mirror entitled Smithereens.
Smithereens.
I keep hearing that Bush song, Glycerine. Don't let the days go by, Smithereens.
I mean, can we all talk, before we even launch into the short reviews, can we all talk about Topher Grace's Rising from the Ashes? I haven't seen that dude in like 100 years.
Who's that?
That's false. He was in Black Klansman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know what? Never mind. Cancel. Tony, what'd you think of the movie? Tech bro.
I think it... I've seen all three of the Black Mirror episodes this season, so... It's going to be a little bit of spoiler for next week. I think this was the most Black Mirror of the Black Mirror episodes of this season.
Topher Grace's name is Christopher.
Yeah.
Topher.
Right.
Chris Topher. Topher.
Right.
That's adorable.
You didn't realize that?
I didn't know his name.
Hey, what are you doing? Why are you like this?
Keep your headphones on.
Topher. We called him. I don't know why that... should surprise me. We had a friend named Chris we called Topher.
What?
Yeah. No, there was like...
But that was his nickname.
Yeah.
Like,
I had a friend from college, and like we were a bunch of friends, and the guy who's now her husband, he was also in the friend group. And Liz was like, when I have a son, I'm going to name him Topher. And just like that would be his name.
Oh.
And
I would rather be named Christopher and be called Topher than have my real name be Topher.
I feel like it's nice to have that option to go back, to fall back on. Right. Christopher's nice to fall back on.
My real name is Topher, but I go by Christopher.
I mean, the difference in my friend is like his name was, like we also called him Chris. Like Topher was like a nickname. Yeah. This is like... IMDb, his
legit name.
He's listed as Topher. Like, that's his name. That's just wild to me. It's like a nonsense name.
I didn't realize...
There's a lot of nonsense names in IMDb, by the way.
I didn't realize that Liam was actually a derivative of William. It was Battlestar Galactica that taught me that.
You literally just taught me that.
Yeah. Well, there's a...
Saltai just...
He named... Yeah. He named his kid Liam... And somebody pointed out, it's like, you love William Adama so much you even named your kid after him. It was like, no, his name is Lee.
Oh,
that's how that works.
Holy shit. That's the Irish middle finger right there. Yeah, fuck you, William. I'm not going to call myself William after you, fucking English. Weird fucking names.
Wait, who gave their...
I liked the episode, and I thought it was the most Black Mirror of this season.
I have not seen the last one yet.
Which way are we going?
Anna.
I was really upset and annoyed by this episode, and I think it is very Black Mirror-y, but maybe the worst stuff about Black Mirror.
Kayla, what did you think?
Yeah. I was actually highly disappointed with this episode. And, I hate to say that because I was also kind of disappointed with the last episode.
Well, I got bad news about that third episode.
You don't know me.
I do.
You don't know me.
I do.
See how you feel about that third episode.
You don't know
me. I know exactly how I feel about that third episode.
All right, well, too bad we're not going to talk about it
next week.
Right now we're talking about Smithereens.
We're not going to get to talk about it next week because I have to work. And I thought that the debates were next week.
Oh, shit.
And so my plan was to like watch them at work. But now I'm missing them.
You'll be watching them on your phone right now.
No, I'm...
Turn the subtitles
on. I'm looking at all of my like angry rants about Smithereens. That's just filling my...
Oh, I took notes too.
Yeah.
David, what did you think?
This episode could have been amazing.
So you felt like... I'm gonna tell us more.
No, that was it. It could have been amazing.
So you felt like it had good bones?
I felt like it could have had good bones.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it was just a sack of quality skin with no decent bones.
Yeah.
Pathetic.
Like it had a really nice thigh, but just nothing underneath.
I really liked the episode.
It once again didn't have that Black Mirror aha moment.
No, it didn't have an aha moment.
There was nothing in this that gave me like introspection or like any of the things that I look for when watching a Black Mirror episode. It's the same as last episode. Like, beautifully done, like...
Do you think Charlie Brooker is giving the middle finger to Netflix for renewing him for another season when he basically wrote the end of Black Mirror?
In the making him, because they're trying to get the most they
Black
can
Museum was the end of the series.
It really was.
This whole season feels like a middle finger to...
Bandersnatch was a beautiful experiment.
But also a huge middle finger to Netflix specifically. I mean, they use Netflix as part of the story.
It's like you said, like it's very Black Mirror in some ways, but the parts that I don't like, it's like social media bad, okay. But because the part about Black Mirror I loved was like everybody's like, oh, it's about how technology is evil, and when it's really not about that,
no.
It's about humanity and like mm-hmm. how people are. And
And for me, I thought that there was a Black Mirror moment, and it happened during the end credits. Mm-hmm. It happens during the end credits.
What happens during the end credits?
They all get updates about what happened. It's just a series of people looking at their phone away and going back to what they're doing.
I felt like one of the most... So I watched it yesterday night. And was really pissed off and kept thinking it cannot be as bad as I think it is. So I'm going to watch it again tomorrow. And I spent my time at work, like looking at Reddit and looking online. And I think one of the most redeeming things that I heard, one of the most redeeming analyses of the show was on Reddit. And it was basically the idea that this is how we view now, and this is how we take in stories. We don't care about who dies. We just want to know they did, so we can move on to the next thing.
Yeah. That and
this did that really well.
I think the interesting thing is there are people who think that this is a new phenomenon, mm-hmm. but it's not. If It Bleeds, It Leads has been a news...
I feel like If It Bleeds, It Leads is different.
Yeah. Is it, though?
Yeah. I feel like If It Bleeds, It Leads is interested in tropes. If It Bleeds, It Leads is interested in torture porn. That's not what's going on here. It's like...
This is specifically that talks about the news cycle, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
The news cycle for me was almost a non-existent part of this story.
The news cycle... specifically speaks to what happens at the end, though, because the news cycle has been condensed to people read a headline and that's it. They get the update and that's all the farther they care to.
Yeah. And I think that's one shallower than If It Bleeds, It Leads.
Probably, just because they're still in an analysis of the news that it's either
because it's not even like emotionally triggering, like what I think of when I think about, you know, sort of fascination with crime.
Okay.
That you might have had in the 80s and 90s and sort of dramatic crime. And that you'd have, like, I mean, even now, like,
yeah,
true crime's huge. But, I mean, you know, within mainstream news. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, since the way so many people get news, especially sort of news about violent stuff, is, you know, via Twitter and it's so short, you don't even have time for a full-blown trope.
I get, like, Google News gives me headlines. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of things just based on a headline that I don't care to follow up on.
Yeah.
But the same could be said of the newspaper. Because mm-hmm. you'd have the big headlines of the mm-hmm. newspaper, and you still picked and chose what parts of it you wanted to read.
But I think the idea here is people are still tracking. They want to know. So there's a difference between sort of seeing a headline and being like, okay, not interested, I'm going to discard that. There's a difference between that and tracking a story only via headlines. And it's not even a real story anymore. It's just like suspense and then like climax and then drop off. It's like, it's just a death. It's like imminent death and then death. I mean, which is part of, and maybe we saw it differently. This is part of why I don't like it. I didn't feel attached to, God, what was his name?
Moriarty.
Yeah, it's. I mean, he was hot.
I could only see him as Moriarty.
Yeah, and he was amazing. The acting was phenomenal. Like, yeah, his facial expressions. I mean, it was phenomenal.
He always
acting.
Is.
He's always great.
But
I want to see him in a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
Like a lot more stuff. He's
Who are we
so
talking
good.
About?
Chris Gil. Well, Andrew Scott.
Driver.
We just called him like eight names.
Yes. Well, sorry.
He and- was. He played Moriarty in the Sherlock TV series with Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah.
The actor is Andrew Scott, and he was. How did they pronounce his last name? Chris Gilhaney? Gilhaney?
Gilhaney.
Gilhaney.
Okay. Gilhaney. Yeah. I mean, at first I thought that it was like going to be some kind of criticism of how people handle responsibility. I don't even think it went that far. I think, like, we were supposed to take both Billy Bauer and Chris Gilhaney, like, at face value and how they were dealing with responsibility and think of that as, like, them doing the best they could with it.
I think there's a...
And I find that horrible.
And, see, I think there's another thing that was a little bit... was, like, a... like a minor Black Mirror moment in the reveal that the social media organization was informing the police about the information that they should have known, that, you know, here we've done all your work for you. Here it is. We're going to lay it out because we're so tapped in. We have all this information. And they offered it up without any due process.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting, and that everybody was just kind of okay,
yeah,
with here's all the information.
Yeah,
a fucking FBI guy they have on the phone, they just cut his ass loose.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we don't need you anymore, click.
Well, I thought that was one of the, yeah, I thought that was definitely one of the stronger aspects, because and maybe we were reading it differently, but I felt like responsibility was a huge sort of theme, and it was played out shittily with the main characters, but then this question of, okay, if we have, like, power is allocated so differently now, and if power consists of such completely different things, like, what does responsibility look like, you know, when Smithereen has more info than the government?
But I think they also answer that. They answer that with Billy Bauer. Like, at the end, when he breaks, when mm-hmm. he's talking to What's-His-Face, mm-hmm. he's like, yeah, man, this was never supposed to be this. And now I don't know how to fix
this. No. See, that's what made me pissed off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
Why did that piss you off?
That pissed me off because basically, I have a whole paragraph written about this. So basically, like, I feel like they're trying to play him off as a moral actor of, like, look, man, I'm just, yeah, I can get into God mode, but I'm just another, like, cog in the whatever. But the thing is, he's, like, consistently benefiting from this structure that he started.
Yeah.
And he has, like, no, and he's acting like he's helpless around it. And when it's kind of like, well, if you really think there's a problem here, then you need to be actively dismantling it.
That's...
Especially as you benefit, as you started it and you benefit, like, that's your fucking responsibility, is when you start something and you continue to benefit from it. It's not like he's just inherited it.
Until it becomes a corporation, and then you don't have control over it. Even as a CEO, you don't have control over the organization.
Sure. But
this is what you don't get to do. Could have been so good.
But what you don't get to do at that point is then pretend to be good and try to make a cop out in your own private moral goodness of, because I benefit so well from this structure, I can, like, have this detox in Utah and meditate.
What do you mean pretend to be good?
Yeah,
I actually feel like I'm gonna take,
okay,
took
you don't,
him
okay,
at
you don't feel like he's you don't feel like he's pretending to be good, like, not, I think he thinks of himself as good.
I don't think okay, like, good as in a general sense is kind of like a useless,
okay,
right?
Like, right,
this thing that he's doing with this dude,
uh-huh,
where he's like, yeah, I just want to talk to this guy. Right? Like, I think they try and talk him down from it,
mm-hmm,
but I still feel like he's trying to actually do the right thing.
They're trying to forbid him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he actively goes against them.
Yeah. And I think he's trying to do the right thing because that's how he sort of structures his identity as a good guy. He's, in his mind, he's still the guy who had this little startup and who just wanted to connect people. And he needs to maintain that identity for himself rather than coming to terms with the impact of his choices and his continued choices.
Which is the recurrent theme of the episode.
Yeah. I don't know, but it didn't play out well for me.
I know.
Okay.
This is what I'm like. That would have been... I could have watched an entire episode on just him in that situation.
Yeah.
And that would have been a great episode.
Actually, yeah, that might have been a lot more interesting.
Him struggling with that and that, like, dichotomy. Yeah.
I could have watched an entire episode of Moriarty and his fiance, and then the car crash is the last thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, have some other social media commentary about, like, mm-hmm. its invasion and its third silent partner in relationships. I could have watched an entire episode on that.
See, that is what I kept wondering. Like, how close could you and Tamsin have been if you each had, like, were clearly, like, yeah, there's this... It's not even a third silent partner. They each had these two other relationships that they were, like, with all of the time.
Yeah, I could watch an entire episode on that.
Yeah, like, was that relationship really as great as you fantasized that it was?
I'm confused of what we're accusing them about. Because of their social media thing?
Yeah, because, I mean, he talked about he could, like, never, like, go 10 seconds without being bored.
I found that to be hyperbole. Okay, and I think that, like, everybody is like that. Like, we're always checking our phones and everybody does what he did, which is you're driving, you're bored, you see your phone go off, you flick it up just to see, even just for a moment, just to see what's mm-hmm. going on. I found that to be an exaggeration. I didn't feel I didn't feel like that was an indictment of the state of their relationship. Okay, that's just right. kind of how we are.
All right.
I know. But I'm saying I could watch an entire episode about that.
Yeah if it was like that.
Like, I'm not saying that was what they were implying. Okay. I'm just saying I would watch an entire episode about that.
Yeah.
I would watch an
entire episode. Because I think that is totally a real thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I would watch an entire episode about Billy Bauer and, like, the good intentions that he had meeting a corporation and then, like, his aging out of his idealism into making money
mm-hmm.
and then how that ultimately corrupts him. And then the aha moment at the end is him not knowing how he got there, but making every choice to get there.
And the thought of this startup, which you said, like you said, is originally about connecting people mm-hmm. and then seeing how it's, like, actually pushing people mm-hmm. apart and making those connections weaker. That's a Black Mirror episode that I would watch.
I think the episode, David, that you are proposing would have made a very interesting episode like Bandersnatch.
Yeah.
Where all your episodes lead you to that path. Where it's a series of seemingly good intentions, and regardless of the path you take,
you always end up there.
You always end up at the top of the world on top of a pile of shit.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a good episode. But instead, we have this episode.
I guess the aha moment in this is supposed to be when he reveals, like, he was the reason for the crash. But it's, like, that wasn't really, like, a aha moment. It was just, like... Yeah,
because I don't remember. Did we even hear about this fiance until, like, right then?
Yeah. No, they mentioned it before.
Because the whole grief meeting, right?
Yeah.
The grief meeting, and then the cops find out.
And so we know he's had a loss. Like, through the whole thing, but he hasn't articulated his loss. So he's been going to these meetings over and over again. He's never articulated his loss, like, you know.
They don't say that. They mention that he had a fiance who died in a crash, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but they don't say that.
And then the implication is that Billy Bowers killed her in some fashion. Like, that's what I thought the entire time, that Billy, like, it was a drunk driving accident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so Billy Bauer was the dude behind the wheel, and then it was covered up or something by a bunch of money.
Oh,
that's why he was so insistent on talking to Billy Bauer.
Yeah, the first time I thought, which was part of why I was loathing it all the way through, because in the first time I saw it, I was thinking, I knew he had had this loss, and so it was before the police said anything, and I thought, oh, so Billy Bauer must be connected, and this is such a stupid...
They were going to try to pin it on... Smithereen somehow. Okay. Because his whole thing in the beginning was this contempt he has for people on their phones the whole time. So
that's true. And the phones are so triggering for him even.
Yeah. So I didn't think it was literally Billy Bauer who was behind the wheel. They said the drunk driver died. They said the other driver died.
Yeah.
So
but then I thought it was a fucking cover up.
That's not a leap. Yeah, but that's not really that interesting. Like, Black Mirror can do better than that.
Can they?
They can, but they didn't.
They just didn't fall down that particular hole.
So I was waiting to find out if he was on his phone or if the drunk driver was on his phone as well or something. Like, I don't know. They, like, the whole contempt for, like, social media thing, like, that just didn't, it wasn't enough for me. Like, him glancing at his phone in that moment, like.
But do you think that there's a piece here of, because the problem isn't him glancing at his phone in that moment.
Mm-hmm. It kind of is. Go on.
Okay, because we've got to remember there's a drunk driver on the other side.
Right.
Now, that was his part that he played in the scenario in which his fiance died.
Right.
So, yeah, he definitely has some responsibility there. But to me, the bigger problem, like, for him as a human is that he can't make a full confession of that to himself. He needs to somehow push it off on Smithereen. Because why does he need to, like, put that there? He's basically saying, like, you set me up for this.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than saying, I should have had a more responsible relationship with social media. And so, yeah. So, I mean, to me, that's the problem for him at that moment. Because, I mean, you could argue back and forth, like, was it, we don't know, like, without, like, forensics, we don't even know that, like, she might have died anyway. I mean, there's a drunk driver on the other side, but...
Yeah, I think they purposely don't go into details because, like, the other driver was drunk. He glanced at his phone. Like, there still could have been nothing that he could have done, but he, you know, he's going through this guilt cycle where he's blaming himself regardless.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's, a guilt thing. Yeah. Right, yeah.
But the guilt, I think it's compounded by the guilt over his disconnect with the relationship because of social media. I don't know that he's necessarily as distraught about what social media that his glancing at the phone caused the accident, because logically he could say that if he's really trying to do mental gymnastics to get out of taking the blame for himself, the easy thing and the thing everyone else does is the other guy was drunk. Everyone else says the other guy was drunk, but he can't let himself believe that.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like the guilt he has over the damage to his relationship that was done by social media is the bigger concern. And that is something he is directly responsible for.
What damage to the relationship? Yes. I didn't get a sense
that they're always in their phones.
Yeah, but I didn't get a sense that their relationship was damaged from it. Like, they seemed like a happy couple. But like I said, this is a normal phenomenon and everybody's always doing this.
Yeah, but this is the second time that we've been like, well, everyone just looks at their phone like when they're driving. Yeah, I mean, we all do, but that's not okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's not...
No, I'm saying...
A lot of people drive drunk, too.
But we're not all... Like, our relationships aren't all, like, suffering. Like, our romantic relationships aren't in peril because of, like, how we consume social media.
I'm wondering... I'm wondering, though, if, like... And maybe there's just not enough, like, textual evidence to say. But I'm wondering... Because there's the relationship he actually had. And then there's the relationship... which probably is fractured into a bunch of different, like, relationships that he looks back on. And, like, one aspect might be super idealized, and I wonder if there's, like, where he's looking back and he's thinking, how much do I really know about Tamsin? We were together, we were engaged.
But, I feel like we do this a lot in these movies where they literally don't give us any information about, maybe. And then we try to pick apart, oh, well, the relationship really couldn't have been that bad, but they intentionally don't, they're not dealing with that part of it.
I think it's because we're interpreting how he talks about his use of social media differently. Like, if it's hyperbole, I think you're absolutely right.
But like, what I'm saying is they don't talk about their relationship specifically at all. Like, it's just about this thing that happened, and, like, they purposefully don't go into the rest of it. But we as a group are always trying to inject, like this weird dynamic into these stories that there's just no information about.
But I think, though, that whole matters, because the thing is, if this is, to a big extent, a grief story... And all we have about the thing he's grieving over are snapshots, because we literally have stills. Not even like, you know, those hazy flashbacks where there's movement. It's literally like still images and very vacation-y images, not like everyday ones, like where it feels like a memory that of just like everyday moments. So his memory of their relationship is very, I found it to be like his recalling of it, I found to be very surprisingly intimate for a fiance.
I thought that was just like stylish for representing like social media, because they were social media images that they showed us in these flashbacks.
Yeah, and I think it matters that his flashbacks consist of social media images.
And see, and I think the, and if I misconstrued this, that's on me. But I think what I'm saying is it's not that it's that they had a bad relationship. It's that his looking back, because it's on his phone, because mm-hmm. because the thing that he has to look back on is his phone. It's the images he can see there. Is that he can then see that there were times that took away from this relationship that is now gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gone. She is gone. There's mm-hmm. there's not going to be anything new. And so it's his grief and his how was I responsible for this? How did I mess this up? How could I have spent more time with her? The drunk driver took her away. There's no getting around that. But could I have had, you know, in grief, you know, you say just one more day. If I could just have one more day with that person, if I could just have one more hour to tell them how I feel. If you add up all the moments that your nose is in the phone, that's a projection of grief.
If they had wanted that, they should have literally said that, and that would have been way more compelling for this like motivation. If all he's having this conversation with Billy Bauer, because that conversation was anticlimactic for me. Like, if they had gotten into that where it was like, hey, not only do I feel like I killed her, but I wasted the precious time I had with her
mm-hmm.
on this thing. That would have been way, way more compelling.
But I think part of the point is there's no realization for anybody. Because that would, like, require realization.
But that's what I expect out of Black Mirror. I expect that, to happen to somebody.
Okay, fair enough.
In my fictional movie about that, I was just making up that whole thing about their relationship. I wasn't basing that on anything in this movie.
So I actually felt like there was something going on there with that was implied about. I don't think it was a big deal, but I think that there was. I felt that there was something implied about the nature of that relationship that it might have not been. I mean, and I think that's true for all relationships when someone dies, that, like, the relationship you make up afterwards is not the same thing as actually was.
I think you might have been, we might have been interjecting that, because that would have been way more interesting than what they were actually showing us, which was nothing.
But I think that's just true of life.
But that's what I'm, like, that's what I'm saying, is, like, that would have been more interesting, and maybe that's why we're trying to, like, because they don't show that at all.
They also did that episode already.
What?
That. With the one with what's his face, Domino Gleason, when he's like dead, but not, he died and she hasn't gotten over it yet.
What?
In one of the episodes, if I gotta look up later.
I don't remember this at all. He died, but she's not over it.
Yeah, so she like orders like a real doll of him.
Talking about. Yes.
That was a Black Mirror episode.
That was a Black Mirror episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a different series.
You're talking about Black Mirror.
Yeah.
So I would have liked about 45 more minutes of this to let some of the things breathe. There was so much going on.
That's the thing about it. Was there so much going on?
See, there could have been things going on. There was holes.
There was a lot of time wasted.
Yeah.
A lot of time wasted driving. There was a lot of time wasted on those two fucking biker kids. Those kids had like 10 minutes of fucking screen time.
They didn't have that much. They had about 3 minutes of screen time.
3 minutes on a 58-minute episode? That's a significant portion of the episode.
That's a but long that was... setup just to have one of them tweet, I overheard the gun is a fake, just so he could see it on social media and shoot the gun out the window.
Like... Which is also kind of antithetical to the entire thing, if you're trying to prove that, like, this social media panopticon is this faceless, like, entity in your life. You don't actually need to give a face to the dude who's on the social media thing.
Oh no, it kind of be faceless though.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of led
amorphous
itself.
Amorphous is different than faceless. I think it's amorphous.
And it kind of led itself also to, like, we're talking about responsibility and, like, the weird way that, like, information versus the police work. Yeah. It was all, that was, like, the running theme. Because the kids overheard the police saying this. Like,
when the kids are they were supposed to have
been gone.
Moved them them back. I mean, that
it took them the 20 minutes to walk 5 yards down the road after the policewoman had told them to get the fuck out of there, and they're like dragging their feet, and then the other police show up, and then suddenly they're allowed to stay. Like, what the fuck?
That's the way people react around those things, though. You guys need to get out of here. Is this far enough back? How far back? How far back do we need to move?
But they had 30 cops standing around. Like,
but they weren't focused. Who gives a shit about those two kids?
Right.
One of those 30 dudes could probably do it because they got 29 people to watch a fucking car.
That
and
hey, do you guys remember the like 2 minutes of the negotiator?
Well, first off,
that was
I took 2 notes about this episode.
Yeah, how do I feel about
here? We go. Here's my first note on the episode. You ready? I'll never be abducted like this. No one's going to take me alive because I can't stop looking at my fucking phone. All right?
Is that why he got taken alive?
Yeah, that's why he got taken alive.
Or was he just in the backseat of a car
fucking
doing
around
what?
On his phone when some stranger's driving you around?
You never look at your phone when you're in the back of an Uber or something?
No.
I've never been in an Uber.
Well, here's... Do you...
So what are you looking at when you're in an Uber?
I look out the window at things. Like, I want to know where I am.
You are...
I like to know... So when I enter a place, I have escape plans. You I know just... exactly where my fucking car is and how to get out of there.
Now, I will say...
All right, yeah.
I will say... Okay. That, okay, sorry, go on. I'm interrupting.
Oh, no, I was finished.
Okay, no, I will say, I thought, like, interesting things were happening with him in the sense of, with Jaden, like... Because he put his own cable tie on. He put that on himself. He did not have to tighten it as much as he tightened it.
That's the detail that stuck out to you?
Yes. I was like, dude, there was a way you could have made that look tight without tightening it like that. You tight. Did not have to tighten that. Like, and he
if
did escape.
If you're thinking that far ahead when you've got a gun in your face.
So, what's your second note after it couldn't happen to me?
Yeah.
No, no, it could happen to me.
You literally just said it couldn't.
I'm just saying, they'll never take me like that.
They'll take you some other way.
That's literally what it couldn't happen to me means.
I think he means...
No, they'll probably take me.
They'll take some other way.
Here's the PSA for everyone listening. Spike the Golden Monkey or the Bud Light. That's how you take him.
No, that was a bad... Lena did that. That was a bad time.
What did she... What?
Put Fireball in his... Oh.
Golden Monkey and... I'm not a...
That was...
Slow drinker.
That was my fault.
He took more than a shot worth of a drink of this pure Fireball.
He, unexpected.
So he and had two bottles. Like... He had two bottles. One was about 3/4 full, and the other one he had emptied. Mm-hmm. So we poured.
The villain is revealed.
I didn't do it. I said, hey, you should put Fireball in head. So she did.
That's a lot of moralizing over there.
And then he came back.
Abducted me in a car.
He came back to the table, grabbed the bottle, and just tipped it.
All right. So it couldn't happen to David because he has perfect
many swallows before he map realized.
Awareness. Perfect map awareness constantly. He is always vigilant. So what is your next?
Elon Musk has downloaded like a map.
Perfect vigilance. What's your next note about the negotiator?
My next note is the negotiator. Is the in the show Lovesick? That's really good, and I fucking love him in that. And then I loved him in this too. He was the fucking best. He was there for less time than the fucking bike kids.
Yeah, he was. What was the purpose of him and his interaction? Can anybody glean that?
Well, they couldn't come up with a good story for this, so they had to fill a bunch of time.
Oh.
They would have literally called in a hostage negotiator, but he knew that that's how they would have done it. I mean, he had planned this. This was all calculated.
So do you think that was to get around like this is an obvious thing that would happen, so we need to show it real quick, have him cut it down, and the
let's just
move on.
Let's just move this out of the way.
Yeah,
maybe
because you have to get to. I mean, and also like this is the only episode in the season that's set in Britain, and so you have to like get around to like why they're using guns so fast. To deal with this situation. And so you have to at least try something nonviolent just to make it.
Well, and then they there was a lot of exposition about why we're not going to immediately just shoot him.
Yeah.
Because of that thing that happened.
Yeah, there was a thing that happened, and the media was all over it. Media.
Yeah.
And now we can't just shoot him. Yeah. But that's going to ultimately be our resolution here.
Yeah.
And so this, did the police have to be involved in this situation to make it more tense as early as they were in the episode?
I think that was the whole point of having the police there, was just to create, I mean, you're creating an isolation. So in storytelling, you create moments where you pigeonhole your characters either by time or by location. They isolated them. They isolated them in the middle of a field, couldn't leave. The cops were there, and the ticking time, the ticking clock is that the police are getting anxious, and you've got this guy who's trigger happy, and he wants to just end this, and you know, we need to stop this before news gets out. Oh shit, news is out. Well, now we can't just shoot him and be done with it.
The tagline for this episode is that he abducts a social media dude that almost sparks an international incident.
I mean, the FBI is involved.
Briefly.
Until fucking Smithereens. Until Smithereens kicks him out. And then we literally never hear from them again. He's just like, oh man.
What's her name? The COO of Smithereens?
Woo.
Yeah.
Penelope, I think.
Yeah. I kind of wanted him to fire her. Like, put me on the line. No. All right, well, you're done.
He might not be able to.
He might not.
COO.
He might not.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like, because we were talking about him being disingenuous or whatever, but like the part where she's literally like sending him messages, telling him how to, I don't know, talk to
empathize with another human being.
Right. And then like he's like, the dude is like, hey, talk to me like a real human. Yeah. And he's like, I'm sorry. Like, like they're always giving me these talking points, and like I don't know. I felt like that was really genuine, because like someone in his position, it would be like that. They're literally trying to control like the information he gets and like what his next step is and literally how he's talking to people, and like I don't know.
So I should be careful with disingenuous, because I think it's something more nuanced than that. I think this is something like everybody does to some extent. It's lying to himself.
Oh, they'll never take me like that.
About the reality of like his actions in the world. It's not, and like, and that, and their moral like weight or their impact, it's not that he, I don't think he's trying to be fake about it. He sort of knew it rang false and that it was like not authentic.
He's Zuckerberg, right? Like,
yeah, oh yeah,
I don't like,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
softer,
yeah,
image of Zuck that they're,
it's
doing
not
here.
No, he's like,
but it's not, yeah, it's Dorsey.
Dorsey's worse.
Who's Dorsey?
It's Dorsey.
Jack Dorsey, the dude who did Twitter and PayPal. St. Louis boy.
Yeah.
He's worse.
Yeah. But that was more the person they were going for. Because Dorsey even did a 10-day silent retreat.
And Smithereen isn't Facebook. It's Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Persona's Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But which one of these two dudes is going to have the name recognition? Right? Like, they're not that indistinguishable from one another. No. Right? So, like, I don't like the softer way that they tried to do it, but, and I don't know how much of
that
is,
means,
like, they present him as genuine, but all the things that Dorsey and Zuckerberg have done to damage society, the implication is that this dude has also done. And he knows it, and his abdication of that guilt is not, like, the abdication of his complicity in that situation is too soft of a handling of it.
But that's why I hate it.
Yeah.
That's why, like, that's why it made me angry.
Because you don't dislike him.
Yeah.
You like him.
Yeah.
Because he comes off as real genuine. Like,
yeah, because like as a person, person to person, and he's like George W. Bush. Totally nice guy.
I'm sure he is.
He'd be a great uncle. Excellent father. And also murders a lot of people, or murdered a bunch of people. But I would trust him with my kids. Like, if I found out, like, you know, oh, my kids were lost and like George and Laura got them, I'd be like literally like not as worried. I'd obviously, like, if I found out Trump had them, I'd be terrified. But like,
or if David had them.
But like, Yeah, I mean, maybe...
Oh, you're not getting them back.
Yeah.
I ate them. I wasn't even hungry.
You cooked them in the hot tub and ate them.
I only had a couple bites, and I was like, man, this is really good. But I really wasn't that hungry.
Yeah, so
flew the rest away.
We're talking about, like, the softness when it was just, like, human. Like,
yeah.
We're talking about the awful things this guy has done, but, like... He started a social media platform.
And wasn't attentive and responsible to the way. And I mean, I think it's one of those things.
What is his responsibility to forcing people to like.
No, but you're okay. So you're thinking of it from a consumer aspect, though. Yeah. But like when they're in the smithereen knock,
exactly.
Right? And they're like, well, we've got all this information and we're feeding all this shit. They should not be able to do that. There should be no God mode that lets him access anything in the system. Assuming this is an analog for Twitter or Facebook, the privacy policies specifically indicate that they cannot do that. But you already know that they can do that.
Yeah.
Like, Snapchat, you know, you're just looking at every snap. They've just got them. Like, they don't go away. I would abuse that power. Let's just fucking be honest.
Yeah, and I don't think it's meant to be like, he's terrible. Like, terrible in the sense that he's doing something that, like, every one of us wouldn't do. I think it's just that that's just terrible.
The analog is, do you remember the movie we watched with Jason Segel where, like, he proved that there wasn't an afterlife or some shit like that?
Yeah.
And then half the world...
What was that called?
I don't know.
That was Knowing? A great movie. No, it was like...
It was the one with Redford.
Was it with Robert Redford?
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn, Robert Redford's so good. Anyway, so, like... You can't just look.
Discovery.
Yeah, there it is. You can't just look at what the dude's done.
3 stars?
That's a travesty. You can't. You have to, like.
What was the name of it again?
Take the context discovery. Of the person and just ignore all the other ramifications they've got.
Yeah.
Like, Facebook in general is not bad in the way that capitalism is not bad. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, if you take the pure system, unhindered by reality and history and everything. It's just an economic system. It is not bad. But our capitalism is fucking atrocious.
Because humans.
Because humans.
Because it's not capitalism.
Humans be humaning. Like.
Yeah. Like, the system pretty quickly devolves into what we've got. But, like, the pure system, there isn't malice built into the system. Like, supply and demand is not... There's no malice in supply and demand. That's just the way numbers work. Right. Until you start adding all these other elements... Which is exactly what social media is. Like,
its
purest form, it's this great thing. Except, like, if you don't tend that garden, it becomes what it is, right? Like, rape and death threats. Like, if you don't clamp that shit down early, you've created a space for it. And now you've tacitly approved that behavior.
If you're not actively working against it.
And, all the lip service that they can pay to that.
Yeah.
Doesn't match the amount of effort they've put into tamping that down.
Right.
Like, Facebook has been responsible for genocides in some countries. Like, that's great, right? Like, they didn't have moderators for some country because they couldn't find anybody who wrote, like, could speak the language. So, like...
Wait, what are we talking about? Moderating a country?
It was some fucking country. They couldn't find anybody to moderate any of the posts on there. Because they couldn't find anybody who spoke the language to do the moderation. So, like, there was just none. And, like, some horrible shit was planned and, like, a bunch of bad stuff happened.
Okay.
Like, but I have to find you an article on it. But, like, you can't just take Zuck at a barbecue and be like, yeah, you know what? He was pretty cool at the barbecue. We played, you know, cornhole for 20 minutes. And
he's got a nice cornhole.
Yeah, he's got a nice cornhole.
That's what I've heard.
And he was a pretty nice guy. Because, like, you can't...
Yeah.
That 20 minutes is a small subset of all this other shit that's laid at his feet.
And I think even beyond that, I mean, maybe he would, like, go out on a limb and risk his life to save someone. Or, like, even bigger than just 20 minutes at a barbecue.
Okay, but what... Getting back to this story.
Yeah, that's the problem.
What...
This story.
What did he do that was bad?
In this story?
In this story.
I don't feel like he made bad decisions in this story. He used God mode. He shouldn't have. He shouldn't have it.
I mean, like, within this story or within the world of the story?
Within the world of the story.
He does mention when he's kind of having this breakdown moment where he's like, it wasn't supposed to be like this, man. Yeah. Like, it just kept getting bigger. And then they literally make it addictive, and like they do all this market research and shit just for engagement, like blah, blah, blah. He's basically admitting to this, like, not that he wasn't actively doing these things, but he was passively allowing it to happen.
A lot of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
a failure of taking responsibility for his part. Like, he didn't actively work against it, and that was a thing that happened in the past, and then he's not taking responsibility for that, and he's continuing to, like, use that structure. Because, I mean, like David said, God mode shouldn't exist, but then to be a good person, he's forced to use the immoral thing at this moment. Like, he shouldn't be able to get that phone number. But
also,
the morality of the corporation was already breached when they were giving the police information about this guy.
Yeah.
But they were giving public information. It's only public because he put it on the social media platform.
His account wasn't active.
No, they said it was dormant.
Yeah.
Not inactive.
He just hadn't been on it for 18 that's true. Months or something.
Because then he started scrolling on it, and they're like, look, he's looking at this. Yeah. He's looking at articles specifically about this right now.
That's kind of weird.
Is it?
So the...
I thought that was pretty enlightening.
I guess, the other part of it, because we talked about everybody seeing at the very end through the credits, they're getting the pings and, just going about their day. But I'm pretty sure the very last thing we see is him sitting back down in his room of silence.
Yes,
meditating
again. Closing his eyes again.
Yeah, so he...
Yep.
Literally closing his eyes to...
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's no change.
No.
Because he knows.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like this whole meditation mindfulness of like tending to your own peace of mind and garden of goodness, like without thinking about the impact. Because the show starts with meditation, right? He's doing headspace practically in the car and then wakes up to see, is one of like, does he have a little bit of bait? You know, not bait. Is there a little, does he have a victim?
So, many potential good stories, but it basically took the worst parts of a lot of good ideas and then shoved them into a shit bag.
I liked the story.
I just feel like what people are going to get from this is social media bad. Like, that's what it looks like on a surface level, is like...
I feel like there's more to it there, but it doesn't flesh anything out well enough.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like David's saying, like, it's there. They just don't do it. Because that's already a thing. Everybody's always jerking off about.
Yeah.
You damn kids on your phone. Like, if you weren't on your phone so much. Like, on social media.
I'm right here.
But, I mean, it's kind of social media is bad, though, through the eyes of Chris, who is unreliable. Because, I mean, he's in that, like, Dan's cafe or whatever. And he has almost, like, a trauma reaction to the sounds of the phones going off. And we know it's not that bad there. But that's just his perception of everybody being so, and there's a lot of truth to his perception, but we also know that, like, his perception isn't the whole, that his perception is skewed.
But it's also, like, not a new thing. Like,
yeah,
it's okay, boring. You're at this diner or whatever, and everybody's on their phones, like, eating and, like, looking at their phones. It's, what, the middle of the day or something?
Yeah.
They're on their lunch breaks, maybe. Like, that's not a new thing. Like,
no.
Not from phones.
Well, and the thing is, what a lot of people, like, when people complain about people being on their phones all the time, is they forget that in a lot of those same spaces, everybody was in their book or their newspaper.
Right.
In exactly the same way 50 years ago.
Right.
And so now we're just, like, reading our book and our newspaper on our phone.
On our phone, yeah.
We're connecting with other human beings over lunch.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Like, people don't interact with each other anymore. I go out to lunch and I don't strike up conversations with strangers. I just want to eat my lunch and, like, see what stupid shit David is posting on Facebook. How is he fighting with his uncle now? So shit I want to see. I want to read about.
It's about the carbon footprint of my Tesla. I don't... That shit doesn't bother me. It should
just tell him. It doesn't matter because when Bernie's president, he's gonna pay for it all. He's going to pay everybody's carbon footprint off.
Single issue voter. And that issue is student loans. You know what? I'm going to double the size of the concentration camps. But no more student loans. I'm going to feel bad after I cast this vote. But also.
Think of all the migrant children you can save with $100,000 off your back.
I know.
You could have them come live with you.
I mean, you won't.
I won't.
Because you're the worst.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not going to do that, but.
You could buy him a toothbrush to share with all the money you save.
Riding high.
There's a little catty moment when Penelope is talking to the police officer, giving her all the information. And they're like, oh yeah, he got this account for this, I forget what driving company they called it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Uber, whatever, it's a fake
name. It started with an H, yeah. Hither or something like that.
Yeah. What was it called? Hitcher?
Hitcher.
Hitcher.
I always enjoy the way they...
Yeah.
Like, they say Google in it.
Yeah.
But, like, everything else is like a... But, what was I saying? Oh, she's like, he bought this account off the dark web. And there's, like, silence. You do understand the implications of that, right? Like, she's talking to a police officer. Right. And, like, it's obvious there's this scorn, like...
Yeah.
For the level of intelligence they've been able to gather versus what the police are doing.
This... local municipality police department that's not going to have any kind of greater connectivity.
Yeah. There's an interesting mirror of the police are literally having to do this like boots on the ground work to find out all this information, and they just like pulled all the same information and more just from nothing.
Yeah, and didn't they also do like a behavior analysis too?
Yes.
They're like, oh, he's a teacher, so unlikely to have a gun.
Start going.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, that was it.
I wasn't sure about that. I kept trying. That part puzzled me because that's what the negotiator said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's unlikely.
And I wondered if that had to do with like, I don't know, if you're a teacher, do you have to jump through more hoops to get a gun in Britain? Because...
Or do teachers just generally skew more liberal?
Okay, so they just don't get guns.
I don't know.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if that's like a cultural thing. Well, is that a thing here?
And guns in Britain is kind of a...
In general?
Just in general, yeah.
Maybe there's a cultural thing we're missing. Very specific
one. Yeah, because I felt like there was a cultural thing going on with teachers and guns and like who gets guns and how.
I mean, because we're talking about giving all teachers guns here.
Yeah.
Kind of take away their textbooks and give them guns.
We have textbooks now.
Cut holes in the textbooks that we do have so that you can put guns
in them. Oh, yeah. Take those useless textbooks.
Cut them out.
Make one of those hidey hole things.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Why make a hidey hole? Just put the gun in the book. Just like carve out near the trigger so you can shoot the book.
through the book.
Well, you're going to fucking read this book one way or the other.
Bullets made of the pages, and then you can just shoot the information.
And 3D print it. I don't know. You need 3D print paper, right? A thing? Should be a thing.
I don't know.
Now that we're on Zuck's radar.
Did you guys... I don't know if you guys follow any, like, meme pages on Facebook.
We've all been in our 30s for a while.
What do you mean?
I haven't been in my 30s like, for a while.
Shitposting pages where they just post
I do
shit.
Mostly start
Did you guys see the Zuckening?
No.
That happened a couple weeks ago?
Where they post a fake Zuck video?
No.
I don't know what the fuck we're talking
about. When a bunch of fucking shitposting pages were invaded by the IRC, the Indonesian Reporting Commission.
What?
They, like, brigaded a bunch of meme pages and got them shut down because Facebook's reporting algorithm is absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. If you run a page, like, and you aren't a corporation, so say you run a page and it's got, like, a couple thousand people, you have admins and stuff who take care of moderating and deleting and banning people. If people report the post directly, regardless of if you take care of it, like, your admins delete it or whatever, you get, like, a strike against your page.
Oh.
And, like, too many of those problematic posts, you can get your page shut down. So they brigaded these pages, and a bunch of these, like, 50,000 member meme groups got shut down, and everybody was losing their goddamn minds. Like, you guys didn't see this? It was so funny.
No.
I kind of wish I would meta, have now, like, just to watch the weird rage that goes on with
because it was like a bunch of these pages that I'm a part of that have no connection to each other, except apparently the people in them mm-hmm. who just love to read nonsense all day. Like, it was just wild.
Holden must be part of some of these things because he'll show me memes and he's like, do you get it? I was like, I literally don't understand what is happening in this image. Like, it's complete nonsense. Like, there's nothing here that makes any sense. Nothing. Oh, but you should have seen the other three memes that led up to it. Maybe I should have. Maybe that's how we tell the story. Maybe. Don't just show me chapter 5.
Right. No, we're post-narrative.
It was just kind of fascinating to watch. Because I think, for lack of a better term, I think meme culture is, like, kind of fascinating. The way we communicate through them. And, like, we can communicate so many complex ideas and things through these very, like, rudimentary images. I just find it fascinating. And then to see all these people, like, losing their fucking minds, like, over these pages being shut down.
That kind of thing does amuse the shit out of me. When the rage over something that is generally inconsequential happens, that's beautiful.
I mean, it's just fascinating to me. Because, like, it's not that I think that people are being ridiculous or, like, whatever. But that's, like, a facet of just who we are as humans. That, like, we get worked up over this stuff.
And then humans are so and then cute. It goes away.
Yeah.
Or somebody just recreates it somewhere else because they want to hold on to the thing.
Most of the pages got brought back because people were like, hey, this is kind of ridiculous. And Facebook, in a moment of clarity, was like, oh, maybe we shouldn't shut down a bunch of 50,000 person pages.
Maybe that will discourage other companies from purchasing and running pages if they can be easily shut down like this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's no moment of clarity.
No, that's a moment of clarity. Like, this is a problem because...
All right.
That's it. We're losing ad revenue from all the people that are scrolling
over and saying they realize that they're damaging the cultural landscape of the internet. They're just like, oh.
They are the cultural landscape of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
When 25% of their population signs off in disgust...
That will never happen.
They won't let it.
We won't. Collectively, we won't let it. Facebook is really interesting to me. Like, it's the biggest political entity in this country.
Mm.
And most of the world. Like, that's just fucking fascinating.
And the cycle starts anew.
It's just fascinating like, it's simultaneously this representation of humanity that is owned. Like, that's just fucking mind-boggling to me. Like, it's such a, like, working contradiction. Like, it's this entire evolutionary item that has evolved, like, from the collective input of literally billions of people that is owned and curated by, you know, 50 or 100 people who actually make, like, conscious decisions about how the operation runs. Like, that's just fucking mind-boggling to me.
What's interesting to me is that Facebook has succeeded and it has continued to grow and continued to maintain membership and grow membership, where an entity like Yahoo is still around despite itself. Like,
I think Yahoo's just kind of running itself now. Like, it's like nobody's on it, but like it keeps, because like I have a couple of Yahoo addresses that are just like doing their own thing.
But like Yahoo and buys something, I'll
dip in them and like things have happened.
It's like I kind of have this feeling like that Zuckerberg also owns Yahoo and like I've got this idea and we're gonna try it over here. And that over here is Yahoo. And it's like, oh, no, we're not going to do that on Facebook because that was a terrible idea. Let's take Tumblr and take away the thing that most people use it for.
Female presenting nipples.
That's it. Them boobies. Oh, those are gone.
I thought, wasn't Pornhub going to buy Tumblr? I read an article about that.
Don't know.
They were going to buy it and then just put the porn back on Tumblr.
No, I don't, because I don't think
Tumblr's, I don't. I think at this point,
like, they haven't faced the consequences enough to just get rid of it.
They're not.
I don't think they will. Like, they're, I don't think they're,
so there's
value has dropped.
Yeah, significantly.
There's an interesting thing, though, that happened that,
but they would just put the porn back on. Like, if that were the case, if they were at the point of just selling themselves off, just put the porn back on.
The thing is, the porn didn't go away.
I mean, it used to
a
be.
A lot of it did.
It used to be, like,
the still everywhere. Images. The still images went away.
The videos?
The videos and GIFs are all still there.
Really? Oh.
If you can't search for it, you know what? I've done some research on this, Tony. It's not as easy to access as it used to be.
Yeah, I just remember going on my porn Tumblr, and they were sort of telling me there were a lot of things there that I needed to reevaluate. And it's like, yeah.
On my Tumblr and all the artist Tumblrs that I know of, everybody's shit was tat flagged.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All I have posted on there are hands.
Mm-hmm.
They were, like, all flagged.
Yep.
For inappropriate content. I mean, they're very sexy
hands.
I mean, they're very phallic.
Yeah.
Their fingers.
Were they female prisoners? Like,
oh,
were
that might be it.
Fingernails?
Oh my gosh.
Shit, did you color the fingernails?
What's funny
oh,
is
fuck.
The only this one, on like one of the only ones that wasn't flagged was, well, I have this one of a phone, like a hand holding a phone, and on it, it says send nudes. That's the only one. That one's okay. Acceptable.
Verizon owns Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
And May 9th, May 3rd and 21st, yeah, there were articles about Pornhub trying to buy Tumblr.
Saying it was
from
interested
Verizon.
In it, but
yeah,
I mean, I could be interested.
But there's a bunch of there's
yeah,
a bunch
there are
of,
a bunch of other steps that are gonna like.
Well, there was a bunch of other entities that stepped in and tried to replace the porn on Tumblr.
Yeah,
it's probably just easier to spin up an account on Pornhub and use that to if
it's
you're only
aesthetic.
Doing the sex.
Yeah,
sure, but like. Once you've fractured the user base of Tumblr,
yeah.
The aesthetic is less important than the potential audience reach.
Yeah.
And see, there was a thing I read right about the time that this all happened where it was an analysis of that by removing the porn from Tumblr, it was going to create this like underground conservative Christian uprising. Because apparently that is also a huge part of Tumblr, that it's one of those things that if you don't start linking and looking for mm-hmm. it, you don't see it. So if you're just on the porn, you don't see all the conservative Christian parts of it. Or you don't see all the moms sharing yeah. kids artwork.
Ooh.
Or the, you know, yeah. all these different,
it's
like,
different type of porn.
Subsets.
Yeah.
It is. All these different subsets of groups that are all in their own little echo chambers. When you just pull that one out, then the second biggest one is suddenly
yeah.
just bulldozing over everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of white supremacy mm-hmm. on Tumblr. I taught a yeah. class on like that had a lot of like elements of Germanic mythology, and once I started looking for just sort of stuff,
ooh.
That stuff like it all came out.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it was whoa.
Yeah, it was an interesting article that kind of examined like here's what's going to happen now, and it hasn't. I mean, not that I've seen, but also I'm not
on Tumblr.
I'm not looking for that on Tumblr.
But also curated content.
Right.
Makes it impossible for you to have any concrete grasp on society. So,
which has always been the case. So.
Not to this level, I don't think.
Oh, I think it's less curated now than it's ever been.
What?
Yeah.
Are you talking about?
We had all of our media and information was funneled through just a few sources. There's so many more today than there has ever been.
Yeah, but you mostly get it from the same place.
Only
and
if
like
you choose
it links
to
it. Out from like
it, but it's no, I don't believe that's true. Because there are a lot more outlets.
So you actually like go to a newspaper's website?
Yes.
Like the newspaper in the URL bar directly.
Yeah.
Like not linked there from anywhere. You just go to like the newyorktimes.com.
Not to that, but yeah, I do
okay,
go to different
like,
news sources. Yeah. Really? I do look at different news sources. I don't always just have everything curated through one thing.
Ugh, that sounds like a nightmare. And when you say that, you actually go to the site. You don't like go to Google News.
I don't go.
You go to nothing.
I have
that
a
links
Google
to
News
multiple different
I have Google
sites
News
at a single
app
time
that does that. But that's the app that I have, and it curates things. But the things it curates is like comic book news and movie news. The news, I fucking ignore that on those things because I don't care about that. I go look for those bits of news. I go look for what fucking shit show has Trump got us into now? Or because of this other piece of news, what is he trying to hide? Like now that we're not pretending that we might go to war with Iran, what's the real story here? What the fuck is he trying to cover up?
And you're doing this from Chrome?
Yeah.
Go. Oh.
Yeah, which is why Google News throws things at me. But I still go look.
Mm. Well, that's the aberration, Tony.
I mean, because, like, how do people get news before?
The newspaper and the nightly news. And you're only watching one channel at a time, or you're...
But you can only get what was around you.
My point is that they didn't have a history on you personally. Like, the whole white supremacy thing on Tumblr, you don't know it until you, like, scratch the surface of it, and then you get the real volume of it, which is basically what happened in 2016 to this country.
But I think what you're saying is, like, you have the opportunity, if you so choose, and many people do, like, you slip into it in a way. Many people do. You don't have to. Of, like, it's echo chamber is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And if you choose to, like, which is why I think, like, a lot of people half the time, I mean, I'm amazed people don't even talk about political news as much as one might, and maybe one should, in comparison to talking about, and, like, broader political news, world political news, as opposed to sort of smaller issues, or even, like, smaller, like, niche cultural issues. So I kind of see what you're saying, but I think you don't want to like mix up perspective on a larger thing with like having a narrow perspective on a larger thing with having, like with being in a world where you have like a lot of curated sort of topics that you're told you care about. I think those are two different things. Because, I mean, newspapers used to be, I mean, okay, yeah, like, television news is one thing, but newspapers, there used to be such a far wider variety of them. Like, in any given city, you would have, like, several, like, even in a mid-sized city like St. Louis, you would have, like, a variety of political perspectives that were represented by different newspapers. And they might be talking about lots of world news, but depending on politically where you are, you know, you get your newspaper from your people.
Yeah, so you would go pull the newspaper.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that's radically different.
But we don't pull anymore. We're pushed to. That this is, like, the level of, like, behavioral and AI tracking that they can do on us now is unprecedented.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like it's not even though... No, I'm not disagreeing with you, David. I think that these are maybe, like, two really different things. Like,
I think you and I are talking about two really different things.
Because, so, for example, if you pull up, you know, sort of my curated stuff, okay, that gets sent to me. I get stuff about rabbits, paleoanthropology, what else? Rabbits, paleoanthropology.
I'm kind of curious to see what comes up now on my Google News if I just pull it up right now.
What else do I get? What else does Anna Leeper care about? Rabbits, paleoanthropology.
I don't think it's what you get.
Seth MacFarlane.
Is my point.
Wait, David. Okay. More paleoanthropology and houseplants. And so, but I think that's something that's different from... Because that's not, like, a political perspective. That's, like, the AI is telling me this is what I care about, which in some ways is more insidious because then if I want, I can pull into this, like, nasty little pocket of houseplants and Neanderthals. That's something different from, like, not being exposed to a different political.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that curated content is great. But I'm talking about the things that you're not seeing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you, David. Okay. I'm saying that I think that, like, what you and Tony are talking about are, like, really different animals.
Yes, I agree. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, literal, yeah.
Yeah. So my curated content from Google News right now, Avengers Endgame, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Far From Home, Smallville's Tom Welling says he would love to do an episode of Arrow as Batman.
That guy's, like, super racist or something now.
What?
I read an article about that, too.
I mean, I think what we're thinking...
Flash season 6 spoilers? Avengers Endgame. Here's an article on Dream Theater. Here's something about the Dodge Charger SRT Hellcat. The PlayStation free games.
I was gonna say I don't think I have any
Queensryche
like curated section. Maybe I don't use it, but here so it like is.
When you pull woman up a killed new, by a lightning strike at Murray State.
When you pull up a new, like if you open Chrome and you pull up a new.
No, I found it. Oh, no, okay. I found right. Google News. They have a For You section, and mm-hmm. it's
sexual yes, harassment in the me. Comic book industry again. And then the St. Clair County real estate information from May.
Yeah.
All right. So mine is the police chief weighs in on recent violence in St. Louis. Trixie Mattel's pink drink makeover for Pride Month. Impossible burgers rise from restaurants.
Wait a minute.
This media apologizes for Sailor Moon error about Sailor Bingo. Uranus and Neptune romance.
Bingo. I was just waiting for Sailor Moon.
Maybe to pop what you're up. Pointing at, like, it's sort of hitting me. You can be culturally engaged now and completely disconnected from reality.
Is there?
Whereas,
remember there a 2016 when we were all like, yeah. "There's no yeah. way Donald Trump can win the presidency."
As opposed to like mm-hmm. 50 years ago, if you wanted to like completely exile yourself from reality, you had to like culturally disengage, like and disengage from media. Like you had to like go in your own little dream world and like paint weird shit.
I was thinking about this in context of my uncle. Because like,
oh boy.
Well, because like he was like, well, you different. Have to. So he's watching the debates tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, we're going to argue about it. And he'll actually have watched the debates, and I will not go back and watch the debates because I don't give a shit. When there's less than 20 people involved, then, you know.
When there's less than 10, that's when I'm going to start caring.
It's a bit much. And also, this election's like 18 months away.
Yeah.
So, like,
here's a fun thing: Holden's going to be able to vote in this next election.
That is gross. And I wish
excuse
you would
me,
never
what?
Yeah.
That. How dare wow. you? First of all, how dare you?
How
gonna,
dare he?
He's gonna, yeah.
Second of all, how dare he?
He's going to be able to vote in the primaries, even though he won't be 18 yet.
Yeah.
Because you can vote in the primaries for an election
if you'll be
18 by yeah. at the time of the presidential election.
That makes sense. Yeah. But out of all the
that's
out
a
of all
good
the crappy
rule.
Shit about our election
that's
laws.
Yeah, that's actually a reasonable rule.
Yeah.
Well, he is white.
Well, that too. He's been voting since he was 3 because he's white.
We're laughing, but it's true. It's a problem.
I mean, that was 2005, so I don't know what he was voting for, but
he found something to vote
yeah,
for.
He voted for Bush.
He voted for lower taxes. Oh, wait, not in Illinois.
Not in Illinois.
Not in Illinois. Actually, his vote didn't matter, and not because he was 5, it's because he doesn't live in Chicago.
Legal weed.
There's going to be a town hall meeting 2 weeks from now.
Are you guys canceling legal weed? And
well, I would bet they are. This is the one of the most conservative towns.
They can not issue zoning permits yeah. for the stores.
Oh, that makes
but
sense.
But they can't. Yeah, they can't sure. criminalize yeah. it against the
no.
They I'll wanted go to the town to, meeting. Like I'll be parties. Like, I practically live here.
They yeah. wanted to. Yeah. They wanted to. Well. There's some weird thing they did where they declared O'Fallon a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
What the fuck?
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
What does that mean?
Nothing. It doesn't mean anything. But it's just that there are people here who will vote that if the Second Amendment goes away, that it'll still be enabled here. It's the weirdest. Dude. It's the weirdest. Up their own ass bullshit. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you actually look into
it. If Obama comes back and takes the Second Amendment out of the Constitution.
Right. When Obama.
Like he's trying
Obama!
To do,
which is what he's running on.
When Obama moves back to Illinois specifically to come to O'Fallon to take their guns, by God, sanctuary!
Sanctuary!
Get some fucking organ lawmakers yeah. up in here. We have a standoff.
Obama comes back, kicks down each door individually, is hand taking people's
personally.
Guns. Yeah, personally. Yeah.
He's
yeah.
wearing a fucking gi. I do miss Obama, man. That dude was fucking funny. He could make a video. I mean, he did preside over a large reduction in my personal freedom rights, but I. You know, B plus.
I'm having a hard time getting... I don't know if I'm still suffering burnout from last cycle. It was a fuck did I crash and burn after the last election.
That's all they're going to get you, man.
I'm not... Gonna wear I'm having your ass a hard down. Time getting, like...
Somebody needs to... Somebody just needs to step in and say, all right, guys... We need to whittle this down.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to whittle this down to a reasonable number.
We need to make a plan. Be fucking strategic.
I actually think, so here's my fringe hot political take. So Elizabeth Warren announces her whatever student loan forgiveness plan. So 2-3 weeks, however long after, Bernie announces his even further left total forgiveness plan.
More radical.
I believe... Bernie knows he won't even get the nomination, and so he's going so far left to make Elizabeth Warren seem so much more centrist so that she can make a better run at Biden. That's my Bernie long-term plan Sanders.
I think all three of them are really problematic looking at Trump's base.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. I don't think any of the three of them have enough of a passionate following. Because I think passion is the wild card that I think there's one candidate that I can name that has any kind of passionate following behind him.
But two of them can. Warren gets the nomination to take Sanders as the VP.
I don't know. Pocahontas and Crazy Bernie. That's just it. He's setting up names. You know, he's already setting up.
Yeah.
And having 20 of them there is just giving an opportunity to line up all the nicknames that he can dehumanize these people. I think somebody like Buttigieg has this amazing opportunity that he can't just call him, you know, the gay mayor.
Yeah, the gayer?
Yeah, because you would go with gayer, obviously.
No. But this is
Pride Month.
But it's Trump.
I mean, he's just going to do that for whomever, so why would that even be a factor?
Yeah. I think there's a point where... people let him get away with calling Warren Pocahontas. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't, don't even address him. Like, you can't
I think, and I think her problem is that she did address him, and she did.
She didn't do it well.
No. I think that's a problem.
But she does want to take a significant portion of my student loan burden away.
I still want to see how this is happening. I'm not opposed to it, but I want to see how it's happening.
And she needs to still, like, I mean, that does nothing for union people. But, like, that's not something that gets a lot of, like, union people, which, and that's important.
Yep.
It might be to them.
No, I mean for the country, like, in terms of, like, a voting bloc.
If you create something that helps the elite.
Yeah.
Or that something we can label helping the elite. That just plays into the hand. We've got to remember,
like, less than a third of the country has ever gone to college, has ever taken a college class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not even graduated, has ever taken a college class.
I didn't realize that was the case.
Yeah, yeah.
You also have a percentage of people who have paid off their student loans.
Yeah, and who don't care.
I don't think it's that they don't care. I think they're going to be resentful for it because, hey, you know what? We paid off $120,000 in the student loan debt. What do we get? Well, you know what? We paid it off early, so we don't get anything.
You got a lifestyle that afforded you that. You got the job that...
Maybe.
What?
Maybe.
If you paid off your student loan debt... How did you pay it off without money?
But that's not how people are going to think of themselves. They're going to think of themselves as having.
I'm not saying that they're going to come to that conclusion.
Okay.
I mean, you might not have finished school, taken out some loans, and then finally paid them off after 10, 15 years, but not have a great lifestyle. But you got to be like diligent.
You had to have gotten a job or something that let you pay off that debt.
I mean, but it doesn't have to be a spectacular job, I guess is my point.
I didn't say it was a spectacular job. And if it's $100,000 worth of student loan debt you've already paid it off.
That is not the average, though.
But that is the figure it depends on
how you paid it off. I'm speaking specifically about the situation that my family was in. We paid it off because somebody died. That's how it got paid off.
You're welcome.
It was him. He died.
But then he
came back.
That's the worst part of the story.
That is the worst part of the story. It is the worst.
And you had inherited that $100,000 that you had. They had already spent on their student loans.
No, no.
And now the debt is yours.
Now the debt is his. He inherited the debt when he revived.
Right. It's a revival tax. I paid off my student loans. It's just a new tax.
Somebody found a genie and was like, "I want you to raise Adam David Pania from the dead because we miss him very badly."
Yeah. So,
and they're like, "Okay, he's gonna come back from the dead with $100,000 of student loan debt."
Yeah, we chose to take a consequential tax hit to pay off the student loan debt because, in the long term, in the 20 plus years that we were still going to have to pay on it, it was going to work out better for us to do that. So we chose to take the hit immediately and just pay it off.
What, for not having the deduction over the 20 years?
For the 9% interest we were paying on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They what?
9% interest on the student loan that we couldn't refinance.
I know nothing about interest. I know nothing about taxes. I know nothing about student loans. So this is all.
What?
Oh, wait. Why I take this back.
Why is that?
Okay. half of the country has some college and a third has a bachelor's degree or more.
Oh yeah. I was going to say that sounded.
We're slightly more educated than I thought.
I'm not.
Not I.
I've got associates. Boom.
But you know, it's not the norm. Associates, bros. I think that's the thing we have to remember, though. It's not the fucking norm. And when you're talking about student loan forgiveness, which, God, it would help me, but
wouldn't help me.
I mean, there's a lot of people that's not going to help.
But it doesn't get rid of my problem.
But it's not going to help.
If the student loan forgiveness,
which is you,
also includes a future of not paying for.
Yes.
For college.
That's going to make a big difference.
You know what? I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's going to make a huge difference. Because
then it makes a huge difference for us.
Yeah.
Because
as a country?
No, I'm talking about the Mast family.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that's looking real good about right now, I bet.
Yeah. I mean, especially if we can make this happen in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Holden's a junior this, you know, this cycle, so.
Ew, stop talking about how old Holden is. It's
Welcome to 30.
Sorry.
It only gets worse from here. Soon, Aaron will have her permit.
You hate aging.
I do hate aging.
Nah, she's still got a couple of years. She's not even, she's just now getting into junior high.
She already seems so grown up.
She does.
Like, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, Aaron should have a permit. Whatever.
Yeah, when's Aaron voting?
Yeah.
We need that to happen
Can
sooner.
Take Holden's vote?
Yeah.
I feel better about that happening. I feel like if somebody offered him Sour Punch straws, he'd vote for whatever.
What an animal.
Only the blue ones, though.
I'm not familiar with Sour Punch straws.
It's fine. Okay. That's okay that you're not.
I'm not missing. Okay.
I mean, I'm not either, but I can just assume it's like exactly what they are. Yeah. I'm sure I'm not very far off.
Social media, bad.
Yeah, that's what we've learned tonight.
Lack of personal responsibility, bad, is what I took away from this.
Okay.
Inability to be honest with yourself, bad.
Lack of personal responsibility, pervasive.
Inability Part of to... the human experience.
Yeah.
There was a lot of lack of personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the main characters.
No. Oh, no.
Like,
no,
at least we're talking about that everywhere. Thing that happened.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. There was a lot of third party.
Yeah.
Click, click. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't have these out right now.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You're right. But I'm just going to keep polishing my gun.
Yeah. Because it wasn't like, it wasn't our mistake. The media got a hold of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And those fucking kids on the bikes.
Mm-hmm. They would have just kept their mouth shut.
Yeah, they would have just left.
The thing is, they did have a long way to walk. And that would, like, suck to walk all that way.
I don't know why they couldn't take the bikes.
I thought their bikes were, like, over near the car.
They were. And then the police were like, you gotta get out of here. Oh, well, let me grab my bike and let's fucking go.
Oh, yeah. Like, instead of just leaving them there.
Like, drop the bikes and let's go.
I don't know why.
We literally have to walk this way anyway. Yeah. Let me just walk the bike with me.
Why didn't they just have one of the 30 other cop cars just take the guys home?
Yeah,
we'll get your information and we'll have your bikes delivered
to you. That's right, because they went back to the village anyway. Why didn't they go with
Yeah. Going that, hey, while you're going, take these fucking kids out of here so they don't get their asses shot.
Yeah, but they needed 29 dudes to storm the fucking car in the event.
Why don't we just start our own police force?
Oh, you mean like the church? That church is doing?
Oh, yeah.
Are they starting some militia or something?
No, it's like, where is it? Is it Arkansas?
Oh, Jesus.
Is it?
I don't remember.
Arkansas or Oklahoma. It was some southern state.
Yeah, they've changed the laws such that a church can create its own police organization to protect itself.
Well, I mean, okay. What is fundamentally...
A deputized police force...
To protect itself on its own property?
I don't know.
So, I mean, I feel like the intent of this was probably not terrible, but the application of this is very broad reaching and will be...
The intent of a lot of things is not terrible.
I'm not ready to vouch for the intent, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. There have been a lot of church shootings, though, lately, and those typically do not happen in white churches.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't have to have a police force to have the right to, like, protect yourself on your own property.
But you're not on your own property of the church.
Yeah, but if you're a member of the church and you have been, like, deputized by... Then yeah,
but that's what I'm saying.
But yeah, but that doesn't require a law, any kind of special law that requires a police force.
But I feel like it does, because it's not your property. You can't just be made an agent of the property.
Okay, so if you're at my house, so let's say I've got like a nice arsenal of weapons, okay?
You're at your house and anyone tries to break in.
Okay.
I don't think castle doctrine applies to me then.
So we're at my house, I've got this arsenal of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Someone wants to storm the castle, hordes of some sort,
sure.
You know, probably from the steps. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, David, grab this semi-automatic rifle. Kayla, you get one. You get a rifle for you too, Tony. And like...
Automatic?
Two rifle Tony.
Like whatever rifle All you right. want. You can pick whatever you want from my arsenal.
Excellent.
You know, the rabbits get one too. And like...
Not Thelonious. He's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, that's not... He would hide. And so, like...
Smart man.
Wouldn't you have the right to shoot any... Like, to sort of defend the property just as much as I would if I, like, told you to do that?
I don't think so. I think it's interesting. At that point, I think for me it's self-defense.
Yeah.
But I don't think Castle Doctrine applies.
Okay. Interesting.
Because, like, Castle Doctrine is, like, really broad... Like,
which is why I think it's so broad that it would apply to...
I think it's just broad in action, but not in the scope of people.
Okay.
Like, I would feel... Like, you came into my house, I didn't want you there, I could just murder you and then claim it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think if someone came into your house and I was in your house and you're like, protect my house and I murdered them, I could claim it. I don't think it works.
Yeah, but I don't think that... I mean, technically, the police shouldn't work that way either. My point is that... you would have the right to, like, say somebody is threatening you or the property.
Mm-hmm.
You would have a right to, I guess, to engage.
In self-defense.
Yeah, in self-defense, yeah. And is but, anything different?
But self-defense carries a bunch of other
different things.
That's true.
Like, so, you have to prove malicious intent. With Castle Law, you don't have to think you have to prove
true.
Shit.
That's true.
This was Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Governor Kay Ivey signed into legislation allowing a megachurch. It doesn't say that it's...
Oh, megachurch.
It's one, singular.
And church.
They approved 2 weeks ago, allows Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham to set up a private law enforcement department to make arrests when crimes are committed on its properties. Church officials say the measure is necessary to provide adequate security for the 2,000 students and faculty on its two private school campuses.
Universities already have that.
Okay, that actually disturbs me from a completely different perspective. Universities, when they have university police, they're usually substations of your local police. It's not the university's own police.
That is not true in some cases.
Really?
I knew a guy who... could not get hired as a police officer.
Circus clown.
And he got a job as campus security.
But that's different. Campus security is different from campus police.
It was, I think it was campus police. Because they're so like no, because the institution where he was, it would have been campus police. So an institution like SWCC,
okay,
would have campus security.
Yeah,
it's just University of Illinois will have campus police.
Yeah,
it's almost a separate jurisdiction, like a separate municipality.
But
it almost sounds like they're allowing this church to be a municipality so that it can hire police officers. They have to complete the same state certified training.
I mean, the thing is, I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to understand like more clearly, because my understanding of campus police were that they were, I mean, it was essentially like your own municipality.
Yeah.
However, sort of the concerns that I would have around a church as opposed to around a, around like campus police, you know, I guess I always assumed that the hiring practice, that they would be under the same kind of rules that the state would have for hiring police.
And it looks like they do.
So you like same non-discrimination laws, and also meaning that you have the, like, not that that would actually like play out in real life, but like technically same non-discrimination laws, and also that you would have to have the same kind of reporting, mandatory reporting that police officers have to do.
And I also don't know what Alabama's history with the discrimination rules that they have to follow.
Yeah, well.
Right, exactly, yeah.
We can, yeah. but I mean, because that would be my concern. I mean, my concern wouldn't even be like the discrimination piece. My main concern is actually like when you have sexual violence.
Right.
Then they can report to their own police and leave it there.
Yeah.
If they don't have the same, because you essentially, because churches aren't under Title IX like universities are. And so, and you don't have to worry about like losing federal funding. So if they keep like somebody rapes someone and they keep that to themselves and can functionally like.
Didn't DeVos just roll a bunch of that back?
I'm sorry?
Didn't DeVos just roll a bunch of that back? Like the sexual assault reporting?
I didn't think it got, maybe let me look, maybe it has been. Really I know difficult. That was the conversation, but it's really
difficult to keep up with it.
How all. Like horrible it all is, yeah.
Like yeah. Because it starts horrible, and then like the which next horrible thing week? Starts, and then like the first horrible thing finishes as the third one starts.
So what is going on with Title IX? You know, I think you're right, because I think that a bunch of universities basically were like, we're going to abide by the old Title IX rules. And that's kind of part of how they are,
I'm really curious about when this arrests are made.
Libertarian utopia we've created.
When arrests are made, what does the judicial branch for that look like?
Yeah.
Oh, there is none. They just execute them.
Well.
A lot of crucifixions.
Stonings. Stonings and crucifixions?
Yeah.
Mm.
Taking it back. This is... This is how we make America great again. Just take it back to the Bible. All right there.
Make crosses great again.
It's all right there. You're on your period. Do not sit on a chair. They will throw it away.
With you in it.
Alarming enough to pull me out of this window shopping experience I was...
Yeah, the look on your face was just like, what the fuck?
You wait outside the home... You go to the Moon Shack. Radio Shack's less successful subsidiary.
Less successful.
But wait, not still, successful.
Is Radio Shack still around?
Individual stores are.
Yeah, all the ones I think I've seen around where we in St. Louis.
There was one in Beloit.
There's one on, there. There might still be one on the other end of Belleville. I think I saw it there.
Oh, rip.
See, this is what Sailor Moon will give you now. They'll protect the moon people. Those affected by the moon sickness.
Somebody has to.
I mean, the police are protecting us from the moon sickness. So, us being the men,
the real victims,
male genocide.
What I need to be protected from is not owning the shirt that says "thick bitch" on it. Who's going to protect me from that? Only $25.
There's a K in it, though.
Yeah, and for some reason, the title is with C's. Because they know better. They know. Mm.
They also know what people like are going to look for.
I feel like they could have done it more interesting.
I feel like if only that's like somebody who printed shirts.
That's like an aesthetic thing going on right now, is just like really plain shirts with like a very small like print in a weird...
I don't know. I just
that seems like that seems like an aesthetic that was created by something. What is that circuit? Those machines that you can
Cricket?
The Cricket. That's it. That you can make your own labels and stuff.
I think it has more to do with like 90s. The 90s are back in fashion. So like
gross.
I love it.
I mean, to be fair, I'm wearing most of the same
shit.
I'm wearing most of the same shit now that I wore in the 90s.
I mean, but unless you're specifically into fashion as a man.
I'm not.
Like, that's what most, that's the same story for men.
I
like,
didn't even
know. I just still have those shirts from the 90s.
I didn't know that a 3/4 sleeve was actually a thing.
I've opened your eyes.
You've opened my
eyes. We just used to call those jerseys.
Yeah. I didn't know that it was a thing. So
I should just ask Mitch.
It's my preferred. I don't like things completely covering my arms, but this isn't a 3/4, it's a half sleeve.
I don't like the 3/4 sleeve because I like a full sleeve that I can
roll up
to 3/4.
I do just, like that as
that's
well.
Just my personal.
I find raglan shirts, which is what you're wearing, and what that means is like it's got this cut here. I find those to be very
comfortable.
Nope.
70s?
Uncomfortable.
No. It has nothing to do with comfort. It has to do with aesthetics. But there's a specific word where it makes people look good.
Sexy.
Poppin'.
It's very...
Schwing.
What is it called when you wear something that's... Flattering. Thank you. What are these dudes over here doing?
Making great suggestions you're just fucking ignoring.
Flattering.
See, and I see a shirt like that and just think 70s.
Yeah.
And it's just because that was a huge style then.
We just recently went through like a 70s swing too. Yeah. I feel like the cycles are getting quicker. Like, you know, they always say like fashion repeats itself, but I feel like it's been happening in rapid succession lately.
It's just amusing to me how some of the stuff that we had and abandoned has come back. Like some of the stuff that we had in high school and then after I get out of school is like there's a wave, like there's this 20 to 25 year wave that just seems to just be constantly flowing, that things that are about 20 to 25 years old are somehow chic. And like the 70s got skipped and then like we hit the 80s and then the 70s came in and now then it kind of jumped to the 90s. Like there was this weird thing that happened because the 70s was terrible.
Man, whatever you can do to cover your shameful, shameful nudity.
Oh man, some of the pictures we have from the mid 70s, some of the collars on the shirts.
Pop like, that shit, Tony.
No, there was no popping that shit. Pop if you would have popped it, you would have cut your face.
Pop that shit.
Those
hard.
Collars were like touching your shoulders, edges of your shoulder. Yeah,
just fucking, just
collars.
Turtleneck collars.
Gross.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what I did the other day? So I ripped one of my pairs of shorts. What bummed me the fuck
Spoiler.
Out?
Spoiler! Like, you didn't even let us guess!
Was that the pair of shorts you were wearing to move? Because you definitely had a rip in those.
Yeah, that was brown. Yeah. My brother's like, you got a rip in those pants. And I'm like, yeah. I'd also ripped it at the pocket.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I know. And then like, when I took them out of the dryer, I'm like, oh, fuck.
No.
These are fucking ripped.
Your ass was hanging out, yeah.
Yeah, these are fucking ripped. So I went to Kohl's to buy a replacement set of shorts so I can have the exact same amount in the right rotation. And then the one that was on sale were like these stretch shorts.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, fucking stretch pants. But then I bought them because they were on sale. And you know, I'd been there for more than like 4 minutes. I was
getting twitchy.
Getting a little antsy. Someone was between me and the exit, so I thought there might have been an abduction attempt going on. Dodging and weaving between the look on the rags.
Pointedly not looking at my phone.
Pointedly not looking
not
at my phone.
Not do that.
I had the president on speed dial, though, just in case there was an emergency.
President on line two and Liam Neeson on line three.
But the president was Kurt Russell.
Jack Burton.
Yeah, it was Jack Burton.
The first line is, what is that woman's name? Just went to jail for the cult thing.
Allison Mack?
Yeah, that's what the first line is, like, cleared for. That's what just in case she comes calling. That's why the president's on the second, Liam Neeson's on the third.
Chloe Grace Moretz was on fourth, but she's been bumped down to seven because she lost her status for reasons, but then was added back on.
But by then, I already added a couple things.
Right, yeah. So now that's why she's at seven.
Anyway, they're fucking amazing. Oh, I love everything about it.
I have too many fucking clothes.
They hug my beautiful thighs. And they really accentuate my amazing calves.
All right.
I actually started thinking about shaving my legs just so that the world could see these beautiful legs I've got, but I'm never going to do that.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I can't shave my face, and it's relatively a small amount of skin. I had skin.
Part of my shin shaved after my car accident because, like, it just got tore up. That was not anything I ever want to have to do again. That shit grew back in, and it was awful. Like, I don't know.
I have to shave my sack soon. Vasectomy. Snip, baby.
All right.
The exam for that's a little rough, man. Because they've got to, like, he's got to find, make sure that they can, like, find both sets of the VD up in there. So he's like, get right up in there. It's like, hey, bros.
Palpitating.
Yeah. Maybe just a little more gentle in your inside cutting.
No.
Actually, I'm going to be numbed up. I guess I don't care.
Or are you going to be under anesthesia?
No.
But they're not rapey like a hospital.
They're not rapey like a hospital. That's what he told me, Tony. So this is what we do. We lay you down, numb you up, do the cutting, and you're out of there. Some guys are like, fuck that. What's going on? we have our own private facility. We'll put you under, do the thing. Someone drives you home, and we're not going to rape you like the hospital.
Like the hospital.
Okay. All right.
Not okay. This is where I would have been like, wait, I have questions.
So I told Anna this story. And
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I have had two friends who have been raped at the hospital.
So I was like, well, maybe this guy's
it's a thing.
Marketing and informing.
It's a thing.
I don't go to the hospital enough to know this.
I got all my hospital and out of the way when I was young.
I don't think that's how that works.
I don't think I've never been to a hospital. Well, like, and I've No, I got taken to the hospital once when I had whooping cough, but like I didn't get put under.
No, that's why I was freaked out about spending the night at the hospital when I got my hysterectomy. I was like, no, I have to go home.
That makes sense.
I didn't want to be by myself.
The only time I've been put under was to get my wisdom teeth taken out.
That's outpatient.
Yeah,
though.
But then your parents, somebody took you home. You're like your mom.
Yeah,
took you home, so.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like that's the only time I've ever been under anesthesia. Like,
yeah,
I've never been under.
What?
You didn't get put under for your wisdom teeth?
No.
Ew. Neither did my dad. And he's like, they're putting you under.
It's a weird experience. It is a weird fucking experience. Like, I have very vivid memories of this dude holding my face like this and just yanking. I'm like, ah!
Oh, God, they pulled.
Wait, did you?
Four.
Why didn't you?
But they weren't wisdom. They pulled the
12-year. They took the wrong ones.
No. On purpose, they took the 12-year molars so that the wisdom teeth could. They had this logic that. No, they weren't.
What?
That's just it.
Wait,
they weren't.
What
I was like,
Tony,
13.
It was 1920.
Yeah,
dentistry was a new thing.
You'd think. It was the weirdest thing. Yeah, they took out my 12-year molars when I was like 13 or 14 so that the wisdom teeth would just, they'll come in perfectly because you don't have enough room in your mouth. See this gap I've got in the front of my teeth? You know what? I had plenty of room. Just saying.
I think I've been put under six or seven times.
What are you doing over there?
And I've had tuberculosis.
Are we just listing our medical history now?
Yeah, I think that's what we're doing now.
I had the colonoscopy that gave me pneumonia. And then I had the septoplasty, the uvulectomy.
Yeah.
There was another thing that they put me under for.
So what kind of ice
Grandpa,
cream do you want for
Grandpa
this
David is talking about...
Since, like, I made you the butter pecan for your uvulectomy? Like, what would be an appropriate flavor of ice cream for your vasectomy?
Pralines and dick.
Something really nutty. Like,
butter pecan.
Yeah, so butter pecan again.
Yeah, because that's what I like. It's like a material, like the jokes, sure, but butter pecan.
Butter pecan is a solid choice. It's a line from Wayne's World. If you were ice cream, he'd be pralines and dick.
Getting my wisdom teeth removed was like the most pleasant experience.
Oh, that. I had to put under for that too. Pleasant.
Yeah, it was the easiest thing.
I will fight you.
So you didn't have like a big reaction to that, because I got so sick from the anesthetic.
No, I was loopy afterwards and like high and like funny, and like I had big chipmunk cheeks. I went home. I felt no pain. I took one of the hydrocodone, immediately threw it up, and just didn't take anymore. Oh, just because
throwing up with the stitches in your mouth.
Yeah, see, that's what I remember. Yeah, but
it didn't, like, that wasn't even, like, I didn't even lose the cotton that was in my mouth. I just threw up the pill. Like,
what?
Yeah, I just.
Yeah.
My buddies came over and they made me laugh. I ripped one of the stitches and my mouth was bleeding all over the place.
My, oh, like, I didn't have a
train wreck.
I didn't have a ton of stitches. Like, the surgery was super simple. They weren't impacted. They had come in, but they were, like, they were crumbling. They were just, like, poorly formed themselves.
Yeah.
So they weren't bothering the rest of my teeth. They just needed to come out, like, just because they were bad teeth.
Yeah, they had to cut into my jaw. It was no good. It was no fun.
It was so easy. So easy. I felt no pain. Got to eat a fuck ton of ice cream. Got all jacked up on, what is it they give you right beforehand?
The nitrous?
Gas? Yeah.
Nitrous, yeah.
They put it on me, and then they all left the room, and I was looking, like, they had this big mural of, like, this wooded river, and it was really pretty, and I was looking at it, and I was like, I started laughing, and I was like, they're gonna come in here, and they're gonna know.
This is a recurrent theme with you,
isn't it? That I am fucked up. They are going to know, and they did.
Turns out that was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I left you in there with it?
Yeah. Well, not with it on.
Oh, it was a different
time. They had, like, given it to me, and then they were like, oh, we have to go do something, and I was just like...
Yeah.
They're like, we're gonna let it, like...
Yeah, let it simmer.
And then, they're, like, getting me ready, and the dude's like...
You need another hit?
They put something in my arm, I think, and the dude was like, all right, I need you to count backwards from 100. Yep. Swallow everything in your mouth and start counting. I got, like, 100. Done. Out.
Wow.
I haven't had a lot of big tooth things.
Like, I had a surgery on my eyelid. I had a growth like right on the tip of my eyelid, and they had to cut it off. I think it was on this side. I don't know. If you look at my eyelashes, there's a gap in one of my eyelashes where it was. And so I'm laying there, and they're like, all right, close your eyes. We're going to give you a local. You know how it feels when your mouth gets numb?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's really fucking weird when it's one of your eyelids. Yeah. And like it numbed up like my whole occipital orbit.
Yeah. Love it.
So I'm laying there and I'm like, they're like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. Do you feel anything? Yeah, I think there's a tear running down my cheek. They're like, oh, that's not a tear. Like it was just blood. Like there was just this stream of blood running down my face. They're like, we're sorry about that. I'm like, hey man, my eyes are closed. Just take care of it. It's fine.
How metal.
You ever had them put a hook in your eye?
No.
That's an unpleasant experience.
It sounds like it.
See, you guys have all these weird surgeries and shit you've had to do. I just don't go to the doctor, man. That'll make you do that shit.
You don't go.
If you just don't go, nobody can put you under and take your uvula, man. Yeah. Like, what?
Actually, they took the cancer out the uvula.
It's like a hole. It's a racket.
Your uvula's gone.
Yeah, that's why they took it.
It wasn't, it was a growth.
It was a growth, and they took it so they could make sure it wasn't cancer.
Yeah, it wasn't cancer.
That's why they took it.
But it wasn't cancer.
They didn't take cancer, because it wasn't cancer.
You're just, like, making it dramatic. And they took it not just because it was causing you all kinds of issues.
It was contributing to the...
It was yours, and they took it, is all I'm saying. You did not.
You gave it up.
I did.
Then why'd they have to put you under?
I signed forms.
I don't care.
He consented.
All I know is I have a uvula and you don't. And one of us goes to the doctor regularly and one of us doesn't. So.
It's the uvula.
There's no cancer in my uvula.
I can't confirm or deny.
When they put under...
Oh, you can't do that.
Nope.
Oh, wow. Oh, no. It's actually the choking that's really the problem.
The three uvulas. And David and the three uvulas.
David and the uvulas.
Every time I go to a doctor, they have to list the surgeries. Mm-hmm. So I put down uvulectomy. And every fucking time they're like, what is this?
Is this a real thing?
Because also, like, when I write it, like, it just looks like three V's or three U's.
This is a surgery you made up.
What is this oolectomy? Oolectomy. I don't use U's anymore.
Post U.
I make it in this life trying not to include... That's hard.
Did you just have a stroke?
I was trying to do the sentence without using a U in any of the words.
I didn't catch on to the bit you were doing.
I caught it after. But no, you're right. It totally sounded like a stroke.
I gotta be at work at 6 in the morning.
Break.
All right. Next week we will talk about Black Mirror.
Episode 3.
It's Jack, Rachel, and Ashley 2. I think that's the name.
Something I don't even like remember a Jack, so.
Jack is the sister.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
All right. See ya.